Well, hey, good morning and happy Easter. If I have not gotten a chance to meet you yet, my name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so excited that you would take a little bit of your busy Easter weekend and be here with us. About 10 years ago, I was serving in student ministry, and I was overseeing a group of high school students, and we began to think about bringing them to Ukraine on a missions trip. And in fact, the year before that, I went on what's called a vision trip, and me and some other pastors went to Ukraine, and we visited with a few churches, some church leaders, met with some people in the community, just got to know different people, and we were trying to figure out, like, what were the needs in the church, what were the needs in this community, and if we came, how could we help? And one of the things that came about in that meeting was they did these summer camps, and they would love to have some people come alongside them, help run those games, help do some other things, but also do some, like, English classes. And so came back, started pitching that to our student ministry, our teenagers, their families. And out of that, we got about 15 that decided they wanted to go. They filled out an application. They brought in a deposit. And after Christmas, we began meeting almost every single week, right? And we're talking about planning games and lessons and learning about Ukrainian culture, learning Ukrainian words. And we started raising money. And about a month into that, we had raised over half of our financial goal. I mean, God was really coming along and doing some really great things. In fact, we had everything planned out. We knew exactly where we were going to go, where everybody was staying. We had purchased plane tickets. We had translators lined up. It was awesome. And we had begun to pray and ask God to do some really big things in and through this camp. And then, if you remember, about 10 years ago, Russia invaded Crimea. Do you guys remember that? While all that happened, I don't know if you know this or not, but they found a brand new body of water. Did you guys hear about that? So there was a brand new body of water they couldn't even see from satellites. And when Russian soldiers came into Crimea, they found this brand new body of water. It was called the Crimea River. Okay, done with the dad jokes. All right, but seriously, if you're not really sure where we're talking about, let me show you a picture of Ukraine, all right? So we were planning to fly into Kyiv, and Russia had invaded Crimea, and this is about 10 hours away, and everything is escalating, right? And even before that, there was a lot of protests and riots and all sorts of chaos going on in the capital. All that had died down, but then Russia came in, and because all of that had escalated, because Russia had become unpredictable, we decided we were going to cancel our trip. We canceled our trip because we cared about the safety of our teenagers. We canceled the trip because we cared about the parents. We wanted to give them and their families peace of mind, but I don't know about you, but I hate canceling things like that. I mean, have you ever put time and energy and money into something? You're looking forward to it. You've been planning, hoping it's on the calendar, and all of a sudden you've got to cancel it. I mean, that word cancel brings all sorts of reactions, doesn't it? It comes with a lot of baggage, too, because in 2020, that word cancel began to consume every area of our lives. Flights canceled, in-person gatherings canceled, vacations canceled, weddings canceled, March Madness was canceled, Major League Baseball, the NBA, all of it canceled, funerals where you could walk across the room and give somebody a hug canceled. Walking across the stage to get your diploma, canceled. Seriously, all the things that we knew and loved were canceled. But I bet we could think about some things that we would love to see canceled, right? If you're a high school student or a middle school student, right, and there's a snow day, you love it when school is canceled. If you're a teacher, you love it when class is canceled. But if you're a parent, you got to rearrange your whole schedule because now you have to deal with childcare, so not so fun. But what about that meeting that you were like dreading all week, and all of a sudden you found out it was canceled? Yes. Right? I bet we could make a list of all the things we would love to see canceled, right? Like, I would probably start with taxes. Anybody else? Okay, and if you work for the IRS, I'm just kidding. What about the election? Yes, I don't know what the solution is. I'm not looking forward to it. But what if we canceled that? All right, but seriously, what if we canceled, like, our bad habits? Like, there's that one habit in our life that we know, okay, man, if I could just get rid of that, life would be so much better. What about cancer? Could we cancel that? How about dementia, pain, and suffering? What if we canceled that? What about things like depression, discouragement, despair? What if we canceled those things? Or what about things that are on a similar scale, like worry and fear and anxiety that just kind of flood into our bodies and our minds and take over? What if we canceled those things? See, there's some things in this world and in our lives that we would love to cancel, right? And this is the very reason Easter is so amazing. And I want to show you why Easter is so important. So if you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, grab it on your phone if you have a device, the YouVersion or your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've got it on the screen behind me. But while you're looking for that, Luke chapter 4, let me give you a little bit of the context. You see, Jesus has just kicked off his earthly ministry. He is leaving the town of Galilee, and he has made his way back to his hometown, Nazareth. And as he makes his way back into Nazareth, he finds himself in a synagogue, and someone hands him a scroll and asks him to read it. So he unravels the scroll, and out of it, he picks this passage out of Isaiah to read. Take a look at this. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is what he wrote, read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." I mean, those are the very words that Jesus chose to read as he's kicking off everything. He's saying, I've come, as I start this brand new ministry on earth, I want to set captives free. That's the idea of someone who's been held prisoner. And the allusion is probably to Israel, who was enslaved in Egypt, and they were set free. But it's also probably pointing to people who are in spiritual bondage and living in darkness and sin. Jesus has come to set them free. And I think if we thought about it for a moment, there's probably some things going on in our lives that make us feel like we've been held prisoner, right? Maybe it's that bad habit. Maybe it's the habits, right? It's the things you eat or the things you drink. Or maybe it's how you use your time or how you use your money. There's things in your life that they make you feel like you're held prisoner. Or maybe it's like some of the emotions I mentioned earlier, like depression and fear and worry, that they're there when you go to bed at night and they are right back there when you wake up. They're uninvited guests showing up and you feel like a prisoner. And Jesus says, I've come to set the prisoners free. But he also uses this word, oppressed. He also came to set the oppressed free. That word oppressed is this word meaning to feel like you've been broken into pieces. Things that have happened or are happening in your life that make you feel broken. And Jesus says, heartbeat is to set the prisoners free, the captives free. My heartbeat, Jesus says, is to release and set free the oppressed. And so there are things in your life, in my life, that hold us prisoner. And Jesus came to cancel the things that hold you prisoner. That's the big idea. If you miss everything I'm about to say, it's this. Jesus came to cancel the things that set you prisoner. Go ahead and put that up on the slide. That if you miss anything else, don't miss this. That's why he came. So I really believe that the death, burial, and resurrection gives us hope. But just think about the big pieces, the big building blocks to Christianity. It started with the very beginning, that God created everything. He spoke everything into existence. He made Adam, he made Eve, and shortly after that, they chose to disobey God. They did sin, right? They said, oh, we're going to do things our own way, and with that, set off a domino effect of consequences. And then entered into the world, not only death and decay, but pain and suffering and this domino effect of sin being passed down from generation to generation. And God saw all of that, and he decided he was going to do something about it. So he sent his son Jesus to go live this perfect, holy life, the perfect life that you and I should have lived. And then Jesus took all of our sin, your sins and my sins, on himself, and he died a criminal's death, a death that you and I should have died. He paid for your sins and my sins, and then he raised himself from the dead, conquering sin, death, darkness, all of that to cancel things that hold you and I prisoner. That's what Christianity is about. But I know some of you are here and you have questions, right? Big questions. You would maybe even identify as a skeptic, wondering like, okay, is this Christianity thing really true? Like, Tim, you're talking about like a dead person coming back to life? That doesn't happen, Tim. Dead people stay dead, but Jesus really did it. And there's a guy in the Bible who actually was a skeptic. His name was Paul. And you see, Paul's whole mission on life was to go and persecute Christians, to torture them, to put them in prison, and to kill them, and to snuff out the church. That was Paul's mission. And as he's going along life, God interjects and radically transforms his life. And Paul becomes this guy who is passionate, white hot for Jesus, and he begins to plant churches all over the country, planting churches all over the world. And God uses him to write these letters to these churches, to come alongside them, to encourage them, to answer their questions. And one of the letters that Paul writes is in 1 Corinthians, and it's to a church in Corinth, Greece. And Corinth, Greece was the original sin city. It was a port city, and so people came and left, and they traded and sold. They did business there. It was a melting pot of cultures, but it was also a melting pot of religions. In fact, it made Las Vegas look really, really tame. People went to Corinth to take a break from morality and just to completely let loose. And out of that culture came a group of followers of Jesus who said, I want to be disciples. I want to be apprentices of Jesus. But they're wrestling with their faith. They're starting to lose hope. And Paul writes them this letter, and here's what he writes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, did you catch that? Death is swallowed up in victory. Death has no more sting. Death has no more power over your life. Now, am I saying that you will not physically die? No, that's not the message of Easter. In fact, the stats are quite accurate. You and I will die. But the message of Easter is hope. Because here's what sin does. The wages of sin is death. Meaning death does what? Death separates us from life. Death separates us from our loved ones. And sin separates us from our Creator. He can't be with sin. And so when I sin, I'm earning separation. I'm earning death from my Creator. But Jesus died and paid for all of my sins, making forgiveness possible, making eternal life possible, giving all of us hope. That's why he says, thank God he gives us victory. Death was swallowed up. Death and the power of death was canceled. But maybe you're still stuck on that whole resurrection thing, right? Let me give you a couple pieces of evidence that I believe prove the resurrection. First, after Jesus raised himself from the dead, did you know that he appeared to over 500 people? That's amazing. And here's why that's amazing, because he appeared to over 500 people. After that, about 25 years later, Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthian church talking about those 500 people, meaning hundreds of people would have still been alive when that letter was passed around. They were eyewitnesses. They could have easily said, whoa, that didn't happen. I was there. But they didn't. And so the fact that there are eyewitnesses, hundreds of eyewitnesses to one event, all agreeing, yes, it actually happened, is pretty amazing. Because think about it. If you were going to prove anything in court, what would you need? You would want some eyewitnesses. Who was there? What did they see? What do they have to say about it? And if you have eyewitnesses and they all say the same thing about what happened, that's evidence for your case, right? Imagine in 20 years, you're sitting around talking about like the Summer Olympics and you're talking about Michael Phelps winning 23 gold medals and someone's like, whoa, 23 gold medals? You're exaggerating. You're like, no, like it actually happened, right? How do we prove that? There were eyewitnesses. People saw it. And with technology, not only did people see it, we have video footage of him winning races, getting those medals. Eyewitnesses are proof and evidence that he actually did what you and I say he did. And the same is true with Jesus. But next, all of the disciples of Jesus were willing to suffer and die for what they believed. If you follow their journeys, you follow their lives, they all suffered, were tortured, and ultimately killed for what they believed so that you and I could know that he was alive. I've never heard of anybody in history who was willing to be tortured and suffer and killed for something that they knew to be false. And so if the resurrection really did happen, then you and I need to wrestle with that. What does that mean for my life? If Jesus really did raise himself from the dead, what does that mean? How do I live my life in light of that? The reality is death doesn't own us anymore. Death is not final. In fact, the resurrection canceled the things that hold you prisoner. That's the big idea. The resurrection canceled all the things that hold you and I prisoner. Because of the resurrection, death is canceled. Because of the resurrection, the power of sin is canceled. Because of the resurrection, the power of hell is canceled. Because of the resurrection, salvation by works canceled. Because of the resurrection, despair is canceled. That's the hope that the resurrection provides. That's what Easter is about. Easter is so amazing. Sin no longer has power over your life and my life. But notice what he says in verse 57. Go back to that. There you go. But thank God, he gives us victory. There's real victory over everything that holds you prisoner, over everything that has oppressed you, over everything that is holding you in bondage. Victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. That's the message of Easter. It's amazing. But what does it look like to find victory? Well, I want to show you a story of a woman named Jessalyn who was walking through some incredible darkness. Her life was consumed with darkness, and she was really struggling. And I want you to hear from her how she found victory. Go ahead and watch this.
Growing up, I would say I was not really raised in a Christian home. In general, my parents not being together, that was difficult. My brother and I were a little bit older, second, third grade, and that's when we started attending church. And it was great. You know, they had a van that would come out to the house and get us. And that was amazing. That was a godsend that we had church in our lives at that time. I still remember it, clear as day. We were in the van and we were driving back to the church, and they had asked, you know, have you ever been saved? Had no idea what that meant. I still didn't really know what it meant completely when I said I wanted someone to pray for me so that I could be saved. Even though I prayed and I meant my prayer, I didn't fully surrender my life to Jesus. You know, I had believed in God for as long as I could remember. You know, I craved that relationship, but I didn't really understand it. Getting married to Brandon, that was the first real promise that I had really ever made to God. I wanted God to be the foundation of that. And it was almost kind of like the blind leading the blind. I still hadn't given my heart to God. I still hadn't fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I was not reading my Bible. I had stopped going to church. Depression and anxiety is something that I struggled with my whole life, really. I can remember having dark thoughts and feelings, even as a child. When my third son was born, I think it was March of 2020 is when the world, so to speak, shut down. I really feared for the life that I was raising my children in. I felt really, really alone. I felt like no one understands what I'm going through, the hold that the enemy had on me. It was like a weight. It was like this heavy sandbag that I was carrying every single day. And it stole my hope and it stole my joy. And you know, it took me away from being present with my kids. And meanwhile, everybody in my life, nobody has any idea what's going on. My husband, who I live with every day, no one has any idea what's going on, the storm inside of my head. It's true what they say, that the most dangerous form of depression wears a smile. Honestly, I don't even know how I got up out of bed every day. The darkness had consumed me. I would drop my second son off at preschool and I would go out to eat somewhere in town with my youngest son, Luke. I didn't even trust myself to go home because I was afraid if I went home that I was gonna end my life. And I know it's so easy for people to say, you know, how could a mother do that to her children? Or, you know, how does someone get to that point? But when you are so consumed by that darkness and you feel like there is no hope, you'll do anything. For me, I had convinced myself at that point that the only rest was to pull the trigger. I remember one night specifically, I had had enough and I was gonna end my life. And from the top of the staircase to the bottom of the staircase, something changed. I just fell to my knees and I cried. And that was the first time I really, really cried out to Jesus aloud. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, I don't want to be in control anymore. I need you to take control. I need you to do this for me. I don't want to have these thoughts anymore. I know I shouldn't have these thoughts, you know. And I begged him to save me in that moment. From then on, I would start waking up in the morning. Before the kids woke up, I had bought a devotional. I knew that I needed to be closer to God, not just conveniently closer to God when it you know, a holiday or when something great in my life was going on. It was like something just started stirring inside of me. Basically, I had this appetite, you know, for more. And one morning I came to it, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It was like a light went off inside my head. I prayed again and I sobbed. I can't even tell you how many times I reread the verse. I read it over and over again. I prayed to God and I said, I get it now. I see now. And I can honestly say that that was the moment that I was reborn. The biggest thing I could stress to people is it's not this one-time moment. If you love Jesus, it doesn't mean that things will be easy, but you've built a firm foundation. You have something to go on through life. Where in my darkness, I thought that pulling the trigger is what was going to give rest for my soul. The gospel, in turn, is what gave rest for my soul. You know, I would oftentimes be really down on myself that I didn't have this, you know, awesome career or those feelings of feeling very lost, like what is my purpose in life, basically. And I understand now that God gives all of us different gifts. He uses all of us in different ways. And I think one of the strongest gifts that He's given me is motherhood, you know, bringing these children into the world and just teaching them to love Jesus. My name is Jesselyn, and I am here to make more and better disciples of Jesus.
Jesselyn felt alone in the darkness. She was consumed by it. In fact, she says in her testimony that she felt the only way she could truly feel and experience rest was by taking her own life. But it wasn't until she really surrendered her life that she experienced real rest. See, surrender is the key. The God of the universe is reaching down. He wants a deep and meaningful relationship with each and every one of us. He's offering that to you. Surrender is the key. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there is hope, but it comes through Jesus. And I want you to know that through His resurrection, Jesus has provided hope for every situation. Every situation. It doesn't matter where you are on this spiritual journey. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you're doing now. It doesn't matter what's hiding in your closets. There is real, authentic hope for every situation. And the key is surrender. So that's the question. Will you surrender? Will you surrender? No matter where you are, God desperately wants that relationship with you. And so for today, I'm not trying to create some kind of emotional experience. I'm not trying to manipulate you. But if you're here today and you feel like something is just tugging on your heart, don't ignore that. In fact, we have these little response cards. They're in the seat pocket in front of your chair. And I would encourage you to grab one right now because there's an option for everybody. Maybe you're here today and you have a lot of questions about what I said. Questions about Christianity, questions about faith, and maybe that's the first thing. Okay, Tim, I have some questions I'd like to speak with someone about. Second one is maybe you're here and you heard on the feed they talk about the Starting Point class, talking about the basics of Christianity, talking about what faith is, how to believe in Jesus, all of those things. You're like, ooh, that sounds interesting. I want to be a part of that class. That's the second option. Number three, maybe you've never asked Jesus to be the leader of your life and the forgiver of your sins. You feel that tugging. Don't ignore that. In fact, don't leave today without talking to somebody, either me, Pastor Jeff, somebody on the band, somebody with one of those name badges, or maybe the person that you came with. Maybe you've already done that, but you know there's something in your life that you have never surrendered. You're just holding on to it, and the question is, will you surrender? Jesus offers hope for every single one of us through his resurrection. Let me pray with you. God, I recognize that there's a lot of people here. A lot of people have come through these doors this weekend. They've walked quite a journey. Things have happened in their lives that many of us will never know about. And it weighs on them like a burden. They feel hopeless. They feel darkness. They feel like they will never have rest, similar to what Jesselyn was describing. And God, I know that you are here right now today. In fact, you are everywhere. You will meet us where we are at. And so I ask that you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, that we would find hope in Christ alone. Pray that you would walk alongside everybody here, help them to find that hope. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys stand in response to that message this morning.